I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World on this Friday. Thank you for being here. So, no matter how you feel about immigration, it has been a tough week of news. Stories and pictures of families separated at the border. Children sobbing, begging for their mothers and fathers. On Wednesday, President Trump signed an executive order ending the policy of family separation of undocumented immigrants, a policy that he himself had started. But that order is also asking the courts to let the government detain kids together with their parents indefinitely. Right now, there are only three detention centers that take families. Two are in Texas, one's in Pennsylvania. It's unclear if those are the centers where Trump is planning on sending the families, or if that's the model he has in mind, but it seems likely it is. The World's Monica Campbell is here to talk about that question and other immigration news this week. Do you know anybody who's been to these places and what they're actually like inside?
I don't know personally people, well, in all my years of reporting on immigration, I may have been in touch with people who've been in these detention centers at some point or another. But all this week, I've been talking to immigration lawyers who have worked with families in these detention centers since the beginning. And all of the lawyers who've worked with these families in these centers over the years, they all say this is no place for a family. This is no place for a child. They are essentially jails. You can't come and go as you want. I spoke to one attorney who works to this day with families at the Pennsylvania facility. And, you know, she was saying what we're hearing. Kids can't run around. They can't make noise. They can't go outside without a guard. And one thing that she told me that I found was really striking, and it's documented, is that at that facility in Pennsylvania, they do night checks throughout the night.
Meaning what?
Well, so there's six people to a room. So you might have two families bunking together in a room. They are under surveillance. There have to be bed checks. So what they do throughout the night is the guards come in with a flashlight every 15 minutes. And they shine flashlights in the rooms, in people's faces, on the ceilings. And the lawyers who work with these families say that the families are experiencing extreme sleep deprivation. The kids are traumatized by not being able to sleep. And I talked to an ICE spokesperson, and they acknowledge that that is a challenging type of environment. But how do you do this otherwise? You need to make sure the people are still there. This is the type of environment that a family is living in. And if the Trump administration has its way, we could see these types of conditions go on for months.
What are the alternatives to detention?
Well, one of the alternatives that's been used for years is allowing people out on bond, monitoring them through ankle monitors, and having people check in with immigration.
Yeah, and Republicans say people released with those ankle monitors actually don't show up for their hearings and those appointments. Is that true?
I heard that, and it's not true. It's absolutely not true. It's documented by the government's own data.
So just this week, Donald Trump said the U.S. will not be a migrant camp and it will not be a refugee holding facility. Then he signs his executive order, and now this. Do you think this is what Trump wanted to do all along, and did he do family separations to get us here?
Well, we did see language in the Republican bills, in the more hardline Republican bill, that asked for that flexibility about holding families and children in detention for longer periods of time, basically to waive what we're hearing a lot about. It's called the Flores settlement, right? We've talked about that in the week. So that would suggest that there is a desire to hold people in detention centers for longer periods of time. When you're in a detention center, it's really hard to fight your case, to get asylum, to make a phone call. I've been waiting all week to talk to a man from Guatemala in a detention center in Texas. His lawyer filled up a card with money for him to call me because, you know, I can't call him. I've been waiting all week to hear from this man. He has not called me. I know he wants to talk to me, and he can't because it's really hard to communicate. I mean, if you've ever been to a prison, you see how difficult it is for people to communicate to the outside world. Imagine trying to fight for asylum within that setting in another language with no lawyer. So if the Trump administration wants to keep people in detention and that's its goal, that's what it's trying to do here.
There are two immigration bills on Capitol Hill, both expected widely to fail. But when you speak with attorneys who represent some of these families, are they surprised that there's not more outrage coming from at least the Democrats? And what kind of support are they looking for from the Democrats that they're not getting?
I've talked to attorneys who've been working in immigration for years, and they've been working, they were working with families when Obama was cracking down. And when we had a lot of kids alone in detention in 2014. And they said, one woman I spoke to said that she was shouting at the top of her lungs to anyone who would listen about, you know, we've seen the pictures of the kids in the, you know, they're called cages, right? And then people have found out, oh, those were from 2014. She said, I was sharing those images in 2014 and Democrats weren't listening. And she admitted, I voted for Obama. So there's a lot of internal searching, and people who are Democrats themselves say they feel that Obama got a pass on a lot of this, that a lot of what Trump is doing is built on the foundation of what previous administrations laid out. And they're now seeing a lot of people in America become very interested in what is going on now, but we've been here before.
So we asked listeners to send in their questions, and one listener, Monica, asked, are there enough judges, attorneys, translators, and support staff in the nation willing to work with all these detained immigrants and asylum seekers? How do you see it?
Well, if you look at my inbox, there are a lot of cries for volunteers from legal NGOs and law associations, bar associations. The Texas Bar Association sent out a, you know, all points bulletin. We need Spanish speaking lawyers. This is also very similar to what we saw in 2014 when we saw pro bono lawyers and teams of volunteers go to the family detention centers and to also help the unaccompanied minors with legal representation. I was struck by a lawyer I spoke with yesterday. She's in Denver, and she was just distraught because she volunteered quite a bit in 2014. She worked 12-hour days, you know, renting a room at a hotel outside of one of these family detention centers with 200 volunteers. They were rotating through these detention centers trying to give families inside legal assistance and help because they knew they had cases. They knew they had asylum cases, and that if they didn't have any legal representation, they were going to lose their case and they're going to get deported. So the lawyer I talked to yesterday, she said, you know, I just want to be down there. I just want to be on the border. And she can't do that. She's got a kid and it's hard, but the call is out for volunteer lawyers, and I'm seeing it all over the place.
The World's Monica Campbell, thank you very much for the update.
You're welcome, Marco.